Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I'm told it's Election Day. Apparently,
gee, you think?
Yeah, apparently people at random convenience stores and gas stations and evidently Starbucks just seem to think that their customers have somehow missed that news and need to be reminded to go vote. On top of the apps and the websites and everything else on this horrid planet throwing it into my face constantly, that we need to go out and vote.
So you went to a store and the employee told, like, reminded you, or was it just signs in the store?
Well, no, I didn't experience this personally. Because, I mean, most of the stores I go to, except evidently the one that I go to that takes Bitcoin, knew that I was running for office anyway, so I had a pretty good idea what day the election was. But no, I didn't actually experience that, but coworkers and friends have. So it's so happening. I've experienced it from apps.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend, Renee, went down to Starbucks here in town and was asked by the drive-thru girl whether she'd voted today or not.
Oh, unbelievable.
Which is really kind of an inappropriate question to ask a customer. You know, I mean, that's a political issue. You don't want to go there with your customers in any kind of public business generally.
Well, Starbucks is one of the most politicized companies in the U.S., at least, you know, the big companies, right? Anytime for some sort of cause célèbre or a protest, they said they'd allow, like, anyone to use the restroom, and then there was an issue with people, you know, shooting up heroin and such.
We're unique, or not unique, we're outliers in the sense that we do not care at all about the presidential election because we recognize that nothing in our daily lives is going to change, no matter which one of these
idiots. I
don't
know if you can put those words into Vincent's mouth. Vincent, is that true? Do you not care whatsoever about the presidential election? Because you sure do talk a lot about it on your show.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's what a lot of people are talking about. I mean, I think that it's sort of like a choose your own adventure novel with like one ending, right? You know, you could have different paths to get to that ending and you might have a different experience with each path, but at the same time, you're going to get to that ending. So, I mean, no matter who is running on either side, it's, you know, whoever gets elected is exactly who the cabal want elected. And if not, they're not going to stay in office for long.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to become the presidential nominee is to have those people in your pocket anyway, or to be in those people's pockets anyway.
Or to be an outlier and have some other group's hands in your pockets and then come in and technically, like with Trump, right, where, you know, Trump didn't have any sort of stake with the Republican or Democrat establishment, so people said, oh, he's an outsider, when really he has stake with, you know, a bunch of different bankers and stuff, and it's even more complicated than Republican or Democrat.
Well, that's because I don't know if I agree. Republicans and Democrats are kind of the same thing. They're all just sort of this banking, corporatist, militarist system. As we promised, there is hope for the United States, or for the American people, rather, because evidently it is possible to see a politician actually arrested, sentenced, and put into prison. But it's mostly Illinois governors, evidently.
Yes. According to Wikipedia, Otto Kerner, the Democratic governor from 1961 to 1968, so in there for 7 years, he was convicted of 17 counts of bribery, conspiracy, perjury, and income tax charges from his time as governor. He received 3 years in prison and a $50,000 fine in 1973.
Wow.
He was prosecuted by a future Illinois governor in that particular case. Daniel Walker, governor from 73 to 77, was later involved in the savings and loan scandals and convicted of federal crimes related to fraudulent loans to himself from his own First American Savings and Loan Association of Oak Brook. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison with 5 years of probation following his release. George Ryan, a Republican governor from 1999 to 2003, was convicted of corruption in 2006 related to his time as Illinois Secretary of State when commercial driver's licenses were issued to unqualified truckers in exchange for bribes, and one of the truckers was involved in a crash that killed 6 children.
Jesus.
in this case, the same governor who prosecuted the first guy I talked about was the same guy who defended this particular governor.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Chris Cammell case. Like, I wanted to call in a Halloween ball. I was busy at the time.
Oh, okay. Chris Cantwell, the former host here on Free Talk Live, we had to fire him because he became a racist, sadly. Then yeah. he ultimately went down kind of a dark path because of that.
Yeah, I know.
Ended up, I'm just kind of giving, I know you know, I'm just giving our listeners a you know, brief, as brief of a recap as I can, having been a friend of his for the last decade, basically. He went down a dark path towards racism, which led him to the Charlottesville protests in 2017, where he was arrested for what he says was self-defense. In that particular case, mm-hmm. he ended up taking a guilty plea, was sentenced to, I believe, time served, but banished from the state of Virginia for at least 5 years, then returned to New Hampshire, where a couple years after that, he kind of laid low for a couple of years, and then the FBI raided his home in January of this year at about 3 a.m, where they tossed his entire apartment looking for, well, whatever it was that they were looking for. And they charged him with so-called crimes of, you know, not actually like doing anything violent or, you know, hurting anybody, but saying something mean to another racist on the Telegram chat application.
And we're talking about Christopher Cantwell, who shocked me, I think it was last week, in fact, when he called here on Free Talk Live from mm-hmm. prison to give me his endorsement for my campaign as Cheshire County Sheriff. It's not an endorsement I've publicized because I'm not proud of it. I think the only reason I get it is because, one, I do know him personally, and I'm yeah. on friendly terms with him. I reject everything the guy says, but we're on friendly terms.
Well, I mean, I will agree with him that your race may be the second most important race in the country.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Maybe the first most important race in the whole country. Because there are no other open anarchists who also happen to be trans Satanists running for anything.
That's so true.
You know, it's a pretty important race.
I hope so. I hope if I lose, then it's not important, right? But if I win, then it's probably pretty up there on the levels of importance.
Well, what was the other reason he said?
He didn't give a reason for
it. No, he
it.
Said
it was because you're white.
No, he actually didn't say that.
He said it's because I'm not a Democrat.
Right. He said it was because he was endorsing straight ticket voting. He said all Republicans should vote straight ticket without thinking because the Democrats are worse. That was what he said.
It was almost like a parody of what, I mean, it didn't
it's
sound
true.
Sincere.
Well, that's the thing with Chris, is it's hard to tell what he really believes.
The FBI is probably behind Bull Patrol because what the FBI did here was take out the weakest, most inconsequential, most disliked, most unsupported Nazi in the world. Mm. They took out the weakest one. They left the Bold Patrol just fine. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Bold Patrol is right. probably stronger now because their enemy is in prison.
And the timing of when they did decide to take Cantwell out was when he was starting to really, you know, when he was hating all of the other Nazis and was starting to talk about, you know, naming names and moving against them. And I just want to say that the FBI, this isn't the first time they've done something like this. They have an official program. It's called COINTELPRO, and they did it to black groups like, you know, Nation of Islam and, you know, Black Power groups. Mm-hmm. And so there's no reason to believe that they're not still doing this now.
Well, it is. It's actually the reason why Chris was considered to be an undercover agent when he first showed up, back when he was libertarian Chris Cantwell, who moved here, non-racist libertarian Cantwell. He was a comedian at the time. He was very anti-police at that time and was saying things that sort of skirted around violence, suggesting violence towards the police. Never quite did. But, you know, a lot of the people here thought this guy's a fed. This guy's here to try to gin up some violence, get people to agree to attack
the
government.
To be fair, everyone here says that about everyone else. There are people who think I'm a fed.
Sure.
There are people who think you might be a fed. It's absurd.
That's true.
So it's election day, and people are freaking out. And people have been freaking out for a very long time. This isn't new. We saw it in 2016. The divisiveness here in the United States over politics has gotten to insane degrees.
I hope it gets worse.
I don't want families tearing each other apart over something that's as inconsequential to their lives as who the president is.
Well, whatever.
I know, Ian, that's the most negative thing I've ever heard you say. I have to say, hoping people become more polarized and,
the
you know,
reason
families
why
tear apart.
Is I'm hoping that people will finally split up. Okay? You go over there. You, the Democrats, go over to the West Coast. Okay, California, secede from the United States. You right-wingers, go down to Texas, secede from the United States. us liberty-minded folks come to New Hampshire, like, you know, Ari and I have done, and others. You were kind of born here, right, Vincent. So let's get the libertarians to New Hampshire, secede from the United States, and then, you know, we still won't be able to get along, but at the very least, we won't have to be with the people who we absolutely can't stand anymore. It just doesn't make sense to continue this experiment. It's been an absolute failure. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to your parents anymore over politics. That's silly. But, you know, some people just can't get along, and there's no point in trying.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
When lifelong Democrat Myra Gomez told her 21-year-old son 5 months ago that she was voting for Donald Trump, he cut her out of his life. He specifically told me, "You are no longer my mother because you are voting for Trump." Gomez, 41, a personal care worker in Milwaukee, said their last conversation was so bitter that she is not sure they can reconcile even if Trump loses his reelection bid. Now, that sounds like one of them can't forgive the other. She says
that's a huge problem with people in general.
It is.
And that is really, that's what really people need to learn here, is not to accept the political beliefs of the other person or think that they're right or whatever. You don't have to change your mind about politics, but to simply forgive that other person, even though you know they're wrong, that's the strongest thing that you can do for yourself and for your relationships. And better still, just don't even cross into that threshold and discuss it at all. Like, I know better than to talk with my mother about politics. I know that it won't have any effect and that will just upset her. So why would I want to do that? I know I'm not going to convince her. There are other people that my words might convince, but it's not going to be her. So there's no point.
That's why I left the South, more or less, because I knew I was never going to reason with my family regarding transgenderism. There was no point in bringing it up with them. Just leave.
Have you seen anyone say that they're voting for Biden even though they suspect he's a pedophile? Have you ever seen anyone say that?
I have not, but I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
Oh, it's on video. The woman was in tears.
I can have to vote for this pedophile.
Can you imagine being just so out of touch with your own humanity and your own sense of reason that you vote for someone you believe to be a pedophile simply because they're not Trump?
Yeah, I can.
May I suggest Joe Jorgensen and Spike Cohen for those people? Neither one of them is suspected to be a pedophile.
Who?
The Libertarian presidential and vice presidential.
What, Gilletta Jarvis?
What?
Gilletta Jarvis. Yeah, she's the Libertarian president.
Are you
right?
Feigning as though you don't know who the Libertarian candidate is?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm just simulating what like 99.99% of people are going to be saying.
They don't know. The media won't pay attention to the Libertarians, so they still don't know who they are.
Well, they'll pay attention. You just have to do something to get their attention. Like when she got bitten by a bat, they paid attention.
What, for like 2 seconds?
Yeah,
two
they didn't give her much
companies
credit, but in interviews throughout his nearly 4-year norm-smashing presidency, Trump has stirred strong emotions among both supporters and opponents. I don't think that's true. I mean, his supporters and opponents have strong emotions, but I don't think Trump is really the catalyst for any of it. Vincent, you asked, do I believe in borders? Well, no.
But you wouldn't let James in.
That is correct.
It's because he's a federal agent.
Oh, okay.
We don't know that.
I'm pretty sure he's a federal. The kind of stuff he says to us is almost verbatim the kind of crap that the FBI was sending in letters to Martin Luther King Jr. Almost word for word. Talking about, you're a so-called minister of peace, your ministry is fake, your church is fake, and you're an evil sinner, and you deserve death. I mean, it's almost word for word. It's eerie.
I didn't see that. I saw the one where they like threatened to expose him or like make up evidence that he was gay or something or expose his affairs. I saw the one where they threatened to blackmail him. I never saw that one where they just send like hate mail.
Well, they didn't reveal themselves to be the FBI at the time, but it was ultimately revealed to be the FBI.
Well, COINTELPRO, right? It was probably COINTELPRO.
It would seem to be. So, moving on with this article. Democrats and other critics see the former real estate developer and reality show personality as a threat to American democracy. And that's another thing that comes out every single election. What if he doesn't give up power? And
it happened with Bush. It happened with Obama. It said the same crap.
I went to find something on Quora that I wrote back in 2017 earlier today, and I found one of my answers from 2015 to the question of, what if Obama doesn't give up power? And my answer was, there is absolutely no reason whatsoever to think that Obama would just be like, no, I'm just remain president. You know, I spend a fair bit of time on social media trying to spread the ideas of freedom and liberty. And one of the things that I've seen a lot lately are various memes about prepping for the civil unrest that people are expecting following this election. Evidently, however, some people believe that we're already in the midst of another civil war. And I saw something else related to this the other day that legitimately made me sad, that, you know, the same cause of the second civil war is basically the same cause as the first civil war. It's racist, divisive BS.
That wasn't really the cause of the first civil war, though.
No.
It was only one aspect to it.
But it was the biggest reason for any of these states wanting to secede.
Was it?
Well, I thought it was states' rights. It's the biggest reason that the kids are taught in public schools today as to why it was.
But
I mean,
why did they want their states' rights in this particular case?
Well, there was taxation that was specifically targeted at the South, if I recall correctly. The textiles, I believe, were targeted for that, weren't they?
Yeah, a lot of it was. It was like, you know, the Northern, you know, the North was more industrialized and such. And, you know, the New England, you know, the cliques, the Blue Bloods, people who still run this country today, they would use slavery as an excuse, right? A moral justification. But because most people in the South didn't own slaves. So a lot of the chagrin and the tension was over the, you know, North's economic dominance.
Advice.com, is the U.S. already in a new civil war? And we've had people calling this show, including hosts on Free Talk Live, who've suggested that they expect a so-called civil war. And I've been skeptical of the entire thing, because, you know, my question has always been, well, what's it going to look like? How do you define a new civil war? In the old days, it was people in gray uniforms on a field and people in blue uniforms on a field shooting at each other, right?
Yeah.
Today's civil war, if there is such a thing, wouldn't look the same. And odds are we wouldn't know it was happening until afterwards, right? So, like, how do you know when the start? How do you know when you're in the middle of a so-called civil war? It's not going to be until – you're not going to know the first day, right? Like, there's not going to be some sort of official beginning to this thing. So what is it going to look like? It's just interesting now. We're starting to see more than just people calling into the show. We're seeing media reporting on the idea of civil war. So it could be one of those things where the more people talk about it, the more likely it becomes reality. Mm-hmm.
People become normalized to the idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think we could get an idea of what it might look like just looking at the Balkans, like in the, you know, Bosnian War, and what's going on in Syria, where you have, like, you know, these former, you know, unified countries, and they would split, you know, they would split up based on, you know, in autonomous regions or semi-autonomous regions based off of either ethnicity or religion, or I guess probably in the U.S. it'll be ideology, unlike in Syria or Bosnia. I mean, you know, the U.S. has such a massive internal police state that I just can't, like, if, let's say, you know, people say that the second civil war is going to be roving bands of Trump supporters and Antifa, you know, duking it out or shooting each other, I just find it hard to believe that any of these groups that are operating without the government wanting to, not getting immediately blackbagged as soon as they, you know, wake up for the, you know, the big battle or whatever. But at the same time, you know, the UK had a massive police state also, and they were unable to stamp out the Irish Republican Army, even the units that weren't, you know, weren't sided with them or plants.
I don't know anything about the IRA.
So there's a secession movement, or, well, it's a weird secession movement, because when there was the original IRA that won, you know, that won freedom from Britain, but because there were so many colonists and transplants in Northern Ireland, which today is called Northern Ireland, Ulster County, they had a treaty that separated the island in two. So Northern Ireland, you want, it was mainly Protestant and Presbyterian, and so they wanted to stay with the UK. And people in the IRA on both sides of the aisle, some of them, they were called anti-treaty forces, because they wanted the whole island.
I can't can't believe that every day I go to news.google.com to just get a quick roundup of what's happening in the world. And every single day there is an article about the, quote, second stimulus payments. They are never going to happen, people. How can anyone...
They might.
How can anyone... I don't think they will.
But it's so inconsequential. I mean, whether they do or not.
I mean, it's been 6 months.
That's the government for you.
They can print the money whenever they want.
Well, that's it. The thing is they can't do is they can't agree on who to give the money to, right? So that's what's taking 6 months is it's the two political sides arguing over, well, we need to give this money to the airlines. No, we need to give it to the cruise ships. No, we need to give it... You know, so like they can't agree on how much money to give to which groups.
And they have an infinite amount.
Another check, but it's all about politics. Another check. It's all about, you know, scratching people's backs and your campaign donors and all that. So in addition to that conflict going on, you've got more of this stuff. Anyway, I don't know where I was going to go. Vice.com. Back to their story. So in Philadelphia last night, protesters surrounded a police precinct after an officer shot and killed 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr. Wallace had a history of mental illness and had a knife when officers approached and opened fire. His mother begged them not to shoot. In the aftermath of the shooting, protesters have smashed windows and spray-painted the police substation. Police say 30 officers have been hurt, and one who was hit by a pickup truck has been hospitalized for a broken leg. This is all.
I have a hard time sympathizing with cops being retaliated against after shooting someone.
Indeed. I don't think I don't think Vice is suggesting sympathy in that case. They're just saying. You know, they're just saying, look at all this stuff happening.
You guys have been talking about, you know, a second civil war, and I don't think we're actually in a second civil war. I think that we are in a dirty war, which was back in Argentina, which, you know, brought Argentina and Venezuela and all that down, which was back in the late 70s to early 80s where people were disappearing. And, you know, you had the, as I'm going to say, two sides fighting each other, which is basically... what we have now.
Now, when you say what we have now, what are the two sides?
I'm going to say as in the Democrats and the Republicans.
You think? Is that really what I mean, are the Democrats and Republicans killing each other?
Not technically as in killing each other.
Don't you have to have like killing for it to be a war? Or can you have
I don't think so really right now as in killing because, mm-hmm. you know, we're in a new age to where I think, you know, with computers and you have media and you have all kinds of technology, it really doesn't have to be killings to where you can have, as I say, one side fighting each other, you know, fighting the other side. Because look at what you have now. You get Democrats and Republicans and they fight physically. I ain't saying they're killing each other. But that's why I think it's more of what I call a dirty war versus a civil war.
I wanted to see if there was a difference between the Boogaloo Boys and the other boys. What are they called?
Oh, the Proud Boys?
Yeah. So I think the Proud Boys are more like just a bunch of guys who got out of a bar and don't want to put up with any nonsense, and the Boogaloos are looking for trouble. You see the difference?
I understand why you'd come to that conclusion because the Proud Boys, they refer to themselves as like a men's drinking club. Uh-huh. And while the Boogaloo Boys, they show up to events with firearms and stuff, right? Like the first time I ever encountered the Boogaloo Boys was at the first anti-lockdown protest.
Reopen
New Hampshire in Concord. And a lot of people were uncomfortable by them because they didn't have a website. They were from out of state, too. They referred themselves as New England. And yeah, it was just they were all generally just very off-putting. So I understand why you think that way.
Yeah.
Well, Douglas, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no dead bodies when the Proud Boys come around. And
well, there haven't been any dead bodies from the Boogaloo Boys yet either. I'd like to point that out.
Well, wasn't the guy from Kenosha a Boogaloo Boy? No.
I don't think he referred to himself as such. He was just part of some like he attached himself to some sort of constitutional militia thing.
I've already forgotten. How was this person related to you who received this letter from the Department of Health?
Yeah, it's a close relative of mine. I'm actually trying to get the person to let me, you know, copy so I can get this information out because there was another person to report on this from, I believe it was some radio station. It was out of Pittsburgh. Now, I'm 6 hours from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. not even close. Don't listen to anything from Pittsburgh. And it was Wendy Bell. She actually released that on her own. But the same information, and the counties that she released are with all in a 45-mile radius of where I live. I live near all them counties. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
So let me recap for our listeners here. Your relative received a letter from the Department of Health saying that your relative had to lock themselves down, quarantine themselves for 14 days, which would prohibit them from going to physically vote. And they received this letter when?
Oh, they received the letter, I would say, a couple of days ago.
It would be impossible for them to therefore, if they were to follow this letter, it would be then therefore impossible for them to actually vote via an absentee because it's way too late.
The KKK members trying to keep black people from voting in the South as recently as like the 80s, I think. So, I mean, it does happen.
And I'm not surprised it happened in Pennsylvania either. I remember like one of the earliest news stories I ever remember was you'd have, I think they were members of either Acorn or Black Panther Party, I think it was in Pennsylvania, where there would be some group of thugs would stand outside of election booths, right? And they'd have like crowbars or baseball bats and melee weapons. And that's the extent of what I remember of it. But yeah, they were just standing outside. This happened in Pennsylvania, right? And I think it's probably the Philadelphia or Pittsburgh area. And, the cops are all on, it's a political machine there in Philadelphia, so nothing happened to it. But yeah, I'm not surprised shenanigans are going on in Pennsylvania. It's a very beautiful, great people, but it's an incredibly corrupt state.
Is threatening to burn down someone's house over their vote an act of war? A civil war, perhaps?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but it could be.
It may be a prelude to such a civil war.
It sounds like textbook political violence or at least political intimidation.
I mean, isn't that politics, though? It's violence.
It is.
And intimidation.
Well, but I mean, this is more overt.
This
right?
definitely goes to the point of being illegal, right? You're not supposed to do that.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.